Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. First Wednesday of the new year. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. And we thank you. Thank all of you that have come out. Hallelujah. To be a part of this first service, Wednesday night service of the year. And also we thank those who have joined us via the screen door. That's what we call online in our online community. And so they've joined with us online, and we just thank you that you took time out to be with us tonight, hallelujah, in the service. We're talking about the purpose and power of praise and worship as our teaching emphasis or our teaching theme or series. And so tonight we're going to talk about the relationship of praise and worship. Now, I'm going to read a scripture out of my Bible in front of me. We shared it with the pre-service prayer team. In 2 Chronicles 20, 21, it says, and he had consulted the people, and when he had consulted the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. Now, are you ready for your appointment to be a singer and a thanksgiver for the Lord? Amen. So this is part of the reason why we are teaching this, because we need to praise on a new level and worship on a higher and deeper level. Praise God. Hallelujah. So ask yourself this question as we embark this subject tonight, the relationship of praise and worship. Am I praising and worshiping God enough? 1 Peter 2:9 says this, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Everybody say, that's me. That you may, what? Proclaim the praises. We don't want you to be mute or muzzled about praising God, but you are to proclaim the praises of him. Amen. Now, most people are proclaiming justice today. Nothing wrong with that if it's for the right reasons and the right motives. Praise God. Most people are proclaiming different other things, but we have been created in Christ Jesus. We are God's holy nation and his own special people to proclaim the praises of him who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hebrews 13:15 tells us, therefore, let us offer through Jesus in his name and by his authority a continual sacrifice of praise to God. Now, one of the contexts of this verse is that Jesus is the apostle and high priest over our profession of faith. A confession of faith. And so one of the highest forms of faith is praise and thanksgiving. And so he said the sacrifice of praise must be done continually through Jesus. He's our great high priest. And he turns around and ushers them into the Father. Amen. Proclaiming our allegiance to his name. What is praise? As we said, it includes commending, expressing approval or favorable judgment of. We said it's glorifying, especially crediting with perfections. Praise by commendation or commending applies the promises of God to our personal circumstances. Now, since we've started the series, I know perhaps you may have gone through some personal circumstances. So are you applying the promises of God to your personal circumstances? Now, I happened to be listening to one of our spiritual leaders and mentors, the Hankins. They were having glory services in Tennessee. And last night and tonight, but one of the things he was sharing is that, you know, when he gets with his faith friends, one of his faith friends is Pastor David Sharon out of Las Vegas. And of course they get together and they pray in the spirit a while, and they pray and hook up because he's went through some personal circumstances quite a bit last year, you know, with his wife and of course with the situations that were happening in Nevada itself. And so a lot of challenges. And so he said they pray in the spirit. He called him up and said, we pray in the spirit, pray for the spirit for a while. Then they get in the word and share the word with each other. And then they begin to praise God and begin to laugh and rejoice. Somebody say, glory to God. So that's applying or praising by commendation or commending. You're applying the promises of God to your personal circumstances. And I'll just say it right up front, right at the beginning of the message tonight, is that we need to evaluate in 2021, are we praising God and worshiping Him enough? Are we praising God and worshiping Him enough? Praise by approving is turning our thoughts toward God and remembering how He has won our acclaim and adoration. So it's your active engagement in the Lord and you're stirring up good old memories of how you fell in love with Jesus and how you are faithfully following Jesus and the Lord. Amen. Praise by approving is also reciting the wonder of who He is and how He has made a difference in our life and the life of others. So a lot of times, well, I ain't got nothing to praise God about. But praise Him for somebody else who received blessings, victories, and triumphs. There's enough people around you, or should be around you, that you can rejoice and give thanks and praise God on their behalf and for what has happened to them or through them. Praising God by glorifying Him is simply recognizing and testifying to all these admirable qualities of God. In other words, we honor God for who He is and what He has done in our lives. We make room for Him to work for us, in us, and in us every single day. So did you praise God this morning? Did you praise God and give thanks today? Amen. All right. So when are we to praise God? Psalms 34:1 says this way, 1 through 3, Amplified Classic, I will bless the Lord, that's a choice, at all times. His praise shall continually be where? In my mouth. Now, they're no good if they're in somebody else's mouth and not in your mouth. That means you have to have, this is personal. Amen. My life makes its boast in the Lord. Not bragging on the person you love, not boasting in your own abilities or your own, wherewithal. You're boasting where? In the Lord. Your life should be bragging on how good and how wonderful God is. Where people will come and say, let me taste and see that the Lord is good. All right? He said, let the humble and afflicted hear and be glad. Oh, magnify what? The Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. So as we said before, praise is to be an everyday part of your life. No matter what's happening, whether you're having a low moment or high moments, your focus is to do what? To stick and stay on God. Stick and stay on God. Now, all you have to do is spend 10 minutes on social media and you find a lot of people aren't sticking and staying on God. Well, let me just move on from that. We are not to wait until church on Sunday or Wednesday nights or wherever you have church before you praise God. You come to the worship service with what? With praise and thanksgiving in our heart. With praise and thanksgiving in our heart. Something's wrong or something's the matter when praise and thanksgiving is not in your heart. It's just an indication, one indication, that praise and thanksgiving has not been your daily habit. Or at least that day. Amen. Make a faith effort, we said, and not just to come to church with bad feelings or frustrations or wait for someone to make you feel better. You do your own praise work and worship work. You would say that's your homework. That's your life work. Okay, how are we to praise God? Praise is how we make room for God in our life. So how much room did you give Him? How much room are you giving Him this brand new year? corporate praise is how we make room for God to move and manifest in our church services. So there's no such thing, as we said, as hidden or silent praise. Praise requires a heartful faith effort on our part. Now, we said singing is a part of how we to praise God. Psalms 34:4, New Living, sing to the Lord, all you godly ones, praise his holy name. Shouting is another way. Psalms 98, verse 4, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth, break forth in song, rejoice, and sing praises. Amen. I was reminded last night when I was watching Pastor Mark Hankins. He said it several times, but Kenneth E. Hagin, before he went on the load, kept repeatedly saying this about his praise life or worship relationship with the Lord. He said, I do most of my praising and rejoicing. Now listen to what he said. I do most of my praising and rejoicing during the hard seasons and hard times of my life. Because praise is an act of faith. It's not a response of just feelings. Amen. Did you hear what I said? Praise is an act of faith. It's not just a response of just feeling. You know how it is when you're really kind of really into your emotions. When you feel good, you talk good. You act good. You smile real good. Why? Because you're happy. Happiness has to do with your flesh and your feelings. Nothing wrong with being happy, nothing wrong with feeling good. Amen? I mean, that God wants you to feel good. But faith doesn't require feelings. Doesn't even ask for your feelings. But when he said that, I started to ponder that last night because it was so profound, and it hit me again. He said, I do most of my praising and rejoicing in the dark, difficult seasons of my life. He said, I shout while the walls of the feet are standing up tall around me. And you got to think about, when do you rejoice? A lot of times people rejoice when I got money, I got this, I got a breakthrough, I got a breakthrough. And they're shouting and telling everybody about it. But what about when they're not seeing that manifest right at that moment or moving in your life at that particular moment? Are you still rejoicing, shouting, praising God? Are you singing when you don't feel like it, but you by faith are acting like it? Amen. Make a joyful noise. Another reason how. So it can be what? Heard. Psalm 66, verse 8. Oh, bless the Lord, O ye peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Another way is thanksgiving. What? Psalms 100, verse 4. Enter in his gates with thanksgiving. So in other words, I can't just bogart into God and just say, excuse me, angel, excuse me, everybody. God, I need to talk to you. He said, enter into his what? Gates with what? Thanksgiving. If you don't say the password, the angel's like, wait a minute, what you doing, bro? What's the password? Amen. Enter to his gates with thanking and into his courts with what? Praise. He didn't ask us how we felt at the moment. He said, this is the protocol to entering. Amen. Give thanks to him and praise his name. So we always suggest in the morning, before you really get going in the day, you ought to intentionally and faithfully. Notice how I said that, faithfully, but yes, faithful. Your faith is full. That means you're focused on intentional giving God thanks, no matter how you feel. Amen. God's presence is in your day is quite important, as we said, to have with you throughout the day. Praise invites God to make your day. So when people say, how's your day? This was the day that the Lord has made. I've been rejoicing and I've been glad in it. Amen. So you give a praise report, a faith report. Faith always gives a good report before you give a feeling and fact report. Most people go right to the feelings and facts. So if the facts are negative, if the feelings are bad, they tell you all about my sorrows and troubles. Praise God. Psalms 118, verse 24. This is the day that the Lord, what? Has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So in essence, no matter what's going on in your life, if you will invite God into your day through praise, he will fill you, your life, with what? Himself. Then the words, make my day, won't be, what, a cute saying. They become a reality of God, takes the threads of your life and weaves his tapestry. So when God, think about it, when God steps in on the scenery of your life, he begins to manifest himself into your personal sphere and personal sphere of influence, then everything else is dismissed from your life. You know that scripture in the Psalms that says, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. The Bible says that the mountains melt like wax before the presence of the Lord. I mean, the mountains see and say, we're getting down because God's coming in. The mountains squashing down. The mountains melt like wax. Think about the mountainous problems and the magnanimous issues in your life that will begin to be dismissed when God shows up, because the angels tell him, God's coming, you're dismissed. Get out of the way. You need God moving and manifesting in your life on a daily basis. You can imagine your day without God and without his presence. Man, you're struggling. And then you're talking just like the world. The struggle's real. Man, I don't know, and all the stuff in Washington, D.C. is bothering you. Now, it should move us to pray, move us to prophesy, move us to proclaim the word, move us to put pressure where pressure needs to be applied. Amen. Move us sometimes, maybe, perhaps, to even protest. Use our civil rights and liberties to protest what needs to be protested. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But don't move you to panic. Don't move you to pout. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, praise also invites God to do more good for you, because he enjoys it. It enables him, praise enables the Lord and permits the Lord to go to work on your behalf. Why? Why does he want to do that? Why does God want to intervene and, in one sense, in a good way, interfere in your life's affairs? Because he's God and there's nobody like him. And God, our glorious great, really enjoys showing us that he's even greater than what you've imagined. You think this is impossible? Is there anything too hard for me? He walks in on the scenery of your life and his presence pushes everything out of your life and fixes everything out of your life and heals everything wrong in your life. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. And so we imagine him more better and more capable than what we thought, because he wants us going, wow, wow, Daddy, wow, wow, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. God, you're awesome. Hallelujah. Somebody said glory to God. Now, here's the relationship between praise and words. Now think of it this way, conceptually. On one, they're connected, they're like twins. Praise invites God in. Worship, God has moved in. Praise is, in one sense of the word, is a weapon, and it deals with warfare. Worship is a tool, and it helps you with your wealth and health. We've seen scriptural example. I don't have time tonight to go through every one of them. But when people began to worship God, demons were cast out of their kids. Sometimes you might be saying that family member is just under the hand and control of the devil. Maybe they didn't ran off the track and went into the off the reservation. But are you worshiping God? Even that Syrophoenician woman worshiped God and got the devil out of her daughter. See, worship has to do with your wealth and your health primarily in one big part. Are you worshiping God enough? In the tithing act and instruction in Deuteronomy 26, it says when you bring your tithes and offering, what are you supposed to do? Set it before the Lord and worship him. And worship him. And worship him. He told Dr. Noble Hayes, he said, if you worship me, I'll make you rich. People want to manipulate God, but they never want to move God with their worship. Are y'all here tonight? Worship. Do you worship God enough? Amen. Psalms 118:21. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. Look at Psalms 119, verse 171. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. Psalms 138, verse 2. I will worship your towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. Praise, again, the relationship of praise and worship. Praise is seeking God. Worship is being found by God, being found by him. Worship, friends, is important to God. Next week, we're going to talk about the New Testament order of worship, and we're going to emphasize worship a lot more. But we'll reserve that. But one of the scriptures that Jesus set the foundation for us is in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, verse 24, a woman was coming and asking him about, he was asking for water and something. And the subject got on worship. And Jesus picks, we pick it up here in verse 20. It says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. She's asking Jesus. And you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship. Now, again, some people restrict their worship to just within the context of the worship service, and some people even take it further and say, my worship is just when they sing the slow songs. And Jesus had to correct her theology. Verse 21, he said, Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Worship the Father. So he tells us the object of worship is our Lord, our Father. You worship what you don't know. And we know what we worship for salvation of the Jews. At the time, it was just Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But the hour is coming. It's already here. And now is that the true worshipers. Now, if there's something true, there could be something false. Something could be real and something could be fake and phony. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in what? Truth. Now you think about it in this context, by your spirit, through the help and assistance of the Holy Spirit. So you worship in spirit. So there's certain things we do with our body that are classified as worship. We'll talk about next week. But primarily and principally, worship is out of your spirit. And in truth. What is truth? John 17:17. Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So you're doing it out of your spirit and in line with or in agreement with the Word. So it's the Spirit and the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. So God's looking for worshipers. He's looking for true worshipers. This is what God is looking for. So you can say God is craving and looking for people to worship him. And he's looking for his children to do it. His family to do it. Amen. Jesus even said in another verse, now before I read verse 24, Jesus even said in another verse, he said, God does not hear a sinner pray. You got a lot of people praying today. Throwing up stuff to God. He said, God does not hear a sinner, but those who worship God. What was Cornelius doing when he had a visitation from God? He was worshiping, praying God. God hears and is moved by worship. He's not manipulated by worship. He's moved by worship. Do you want God to move in your life? Then you should consider worshiping him more. Hallelujah. Look at verse 24. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in what? That's what he accepts. There's a lady, I think I told the story before, who's 30-something years old, 33 or 34. She had real bad cancer. It was aggressive. And, of course, she was a mother of children and a wife to a husband. Too young to die, 33, 34. But the Lord gave her instructions, worship me, and I'll heal you. So she started off tracking out around the dining room table 1 hour or more every day, worshiping God, just walking around in a circle. After a while, she made a little trail in the carpet, circular trail in the carpet, just worshiping God. Not spending time in front of the TV, not trying to be in everybody else's business, but she's taking care of her business of receiving her healing through worship, because that was her instructions from the Holy Spirit, to worship the Lord. So when she went back for follow-up, because the doctors had given up on her, said, we can't do anything with her. They gave her a death sentence and told her she got XYZ days to live. Now, so she's desperate. She needed God. Amen. She needed to move God and for God to move into her life and into her body in a marvelous and miraculous way. Well, the days expired. She's still walking around the table, worshiping God. Went back to the doctor. They said, well, looks like things are going in the right direction. We didn't think it would. Few weeks and days later, and months gone by, completely, totally, absolutely cancer free. Somebody said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those that God is a spirit, and so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, the reason to say that your spirit is involved, because God's not necessarily super impressed with our flesh. Now, he redeemed our flesh. He redeemed our bodies. But we spend a lot of time on our physical bodies when God says, I'm really impressed with your spirit, your newborn, recreated human spirit, made in the image and likeness of me. Like a mother or father looking at their newborn baby saying, that's my boy, that's my girl, you know, that's my grandbaby, that's my grandson, whatever the case may be. And you're looking at them with awe and amazement, and God is looking at that way at your spirit, but he wants you to worship him with your spirit, out of your spirit, out of your newborn, recreated human spirit, and based on the word of God. Because he's impressed with his new creation in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, he's going to redeem your body. He's going to change our the Bible says, vile bodies, getting older bodies. But he's more impressed with your spirit. He's more attracted to your spirit. Amen. So people that try to worship God out of their mind or worship God out of their flesh aren't doing it according to God's protocol and procedure. See, these verses from the lips of Jesus clearly show us several things about the importance of worship. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Secondly, our Heavenly Father is seeking true worshipers to worship him. So God's looking for people to worship him. He's looking to move in and move upon worshipers. Amen. But he caveats it and says true worshipers. And we just came through the Christmas season, and Christmas, one of the big highlights of Christmas is a season of worship. Because why? You see the story of his birth. The shepherds came to what? Worship him and praise him. And what happened? The angels were worshiping him. Y'all know the Christmas story. Amen. The wise men came almost 2-year journey to do what? Open the door and worship him. Amen. They didn't come in and say, look at all the toys we brought you. Look at all the presents we got you. The wise men came and said, when they opened the door, they saw the young child. The Bible says they saw the one child, and they fell down and worshiped him. Amen. As the king. They worshiped him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then they open up their presents. A lot of times we want people to impress with our presence, but we're not seeking after his presence. Amen. Glory to God. Then we saw religious worshipers, all the Pharisees and scribes who studied Jesus but never followed Jesus. In other words, they were just interested in the Bible study. They said, let's just go to church. They were 5 miles from Bethlehem. And in 2 years, there's no record of them ever getting to Bethlehem or to see Jesus when he was born or to go to Jesus after he had came back to Nazareth. They just wanted a Bible study. They just talk about Jesus, but never serve him or follow him. So those are religious worship. But God didn't say religious worship. He didn't say, he said true worshipers. And nor did he say evil worshipers, because that was Herod. Because he said, wise men, tell me where he is and come back and bring me word so I can come worship him. No, he had evil intentions. He had an ulterior motive. He didn't want to worship Jesus. He wanted to kill Jesus. So there's such things as evil worshipers. There's such things as religious worshipers. But God is seeking who? True worshipers. Number three, those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in what? And in truth. See, our Father God loves to bless us. And all he wants us to do is worship him for who he is and praise him for what he has done. So that's another relationship. You worship God for who he is. You praise God for what he has done, what he's doing, and what he promised or prophesied that what he will do. That's the relationship of praise and worship. Worship is praising God for who he is. Now, a lot of times in the context of our contemporary worship services, worship God is when people are just basking in his presence and loving on God and magnifying for who he is. Praising God is about what he has done, what he is doing, and what he has promised or prophesied he will do. That's why when we get a word of prophecy, we praise God. Because that's appropriate. That's fitting for prophecy. We praise the Lord because that's what he spoke to us, what he will do. Praise. But we worship him for who he is. his wonder, his glory, his majesty, his honor, exalted him as the Most High. We worship him for who he is. Somebody say, glory to God. So worship and praise, as we said before, are like twins. See, if you have to have a bunch of people around you before you can worship God, then your relationship with God is kind of half sick. Because we said, just like you have private praise sessions, you should have personal and private worship times. Now, we said there's two primary times that you should have as a part of your devotional, daily devotional regimen. The one is the think time. Everybody say think time. And then throne time. Think time is when you're meditating the word, when you're pondering the promises of God, when you're professing the word, when you're studying the word, when you're feeding and reading the word. That's your think time. Your throne time is when you're praying and praising God and you're worshiping God because you're before the throne. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? So that you can obtain mercy, so to find grace to help in time of need. Well, get your help before you leave. Get your think time, because a lot of times we're thinking, and unfortunately in the pressure times, we may do a little bit too much negative thinking. And it's called worry, called faith in reverse, and it's called fear. We're thinking about all the negative stuff, what the bad things, and we're panicking, we're paranoid, we're under pressure because of the problem or the pain. So that's the wrong kind of thinking time. But thinking time should be thinking on God's word, feeding on God's word, meditating on God's word, confessing God's word. You need to have think time, but you also need to have throne time. You need to have throne time. Mano a mano, one-on-one, you and God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk to the Lord, but also praise the Lord. Also worship the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise is building a house for God. Worship is God moving into that house. See, our Father God responds to people who have a deep hunger for him, because he's looking for people who are hungry just for him. Just want to hang out with your daddy God, your heavenly Father. So he's not just a religious object or a religious expression and routine, but you actually spend time with God. Psalms 42:1-2 says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you. Now, friends, those online, those in person here, is your soul panting for God? Now, a lot of times we pant, we've seen a lot of panting, but it's panting for what? Justice, equality, these things. Nothing wrong with those things. Some people pant for food. Some people have gone crazy over money coming to them. We need that. But our real need is God. So are you panting for him? Is your soul panting for God? He said, my soul pants for you, God, oh God. My soul thirsts for who? God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now, David was called a man after God's own heart, because David was a praiser, but he was also a worshiper. Amen. And God kept him what? Healthy. And God made him very rich. My God, you see his offering in 1 Chronicles 29? What would be calculated today in the billions? Just in the gold he gave? Maybe perhaps that's a key to some of us moving up in a new level of prosperity and abundance, is that we got to worship God. Spend time with your tithe or your offering, worshiping God. Amen. See, the heart cry of David in this mighty entreaty of every true worship is the mighty entreaty of, is the treaty of entreaty of every true worshiper. Where's God? I always like to pick on my grandson because, you know, he gets up when he's over our house. A lot of times he comes down to see if we're up. He's looking for who? He's looking for Oma. She's the favorite. She's the favorite and the flavor of the day. She's looking for Oma, and then he's looking for Papa. And I'm thinking, man, we should be doing that about for God. We get so busy doing what? Looking for other stuff and trying to do other stuff when we should be asking, like, where's God? Where are you, Father? Where are you, Lord Jesus? I welcome you. I welcome you, Holy Spirit. Amen. How can I build a road for where he is that I may be with him? Our focus must be on him, and he must be our delight. You know, about 10 o'clock or noon, if you're mad and sad and frustrated, you need to ask yourself, have I found God today? Have I been with God today? Amen. Well, praise God. And the question is this: why are we so lackadaisical at times in our search and seeking for God? Why are we so lackadaisical at times in our search and seeking God? You know, you have to answer that for yourself. See, one possible answer is that we've yet to experience the beauty and the power of God's manifested presence. That's one possible. Therefore, we don't understand the reward for the seeking, that the reward of our seeking is worth every bit of our effort and more. We'd rather answer the texts. We'd rather respond to the emails or the pop-up notifications, the push notifications. We'd rather respond to the TV shows on, or I got to make this appointment. Because we don't think seeking God is worth every bit of our effort. And see, God is not going to be second place or second fiddle in your life. Amen. Remember the first commandment under Moses? Thou shalt have no other, what? God before me. So God says, I'm not going to be second chair. I'm not going to be second position. I'm not going to be second place. Then what was the second one? Second and third one. Graven image. And you should not worship. You shall not worship. Some people worship other things and other people and not God. Because when other people call, they immediately got their undivided attention. They put all their energy and effort into pleasing that other person. Or perhaps that other thing has captivated their soul to a point to where they said, this is all I'm thinking about. And God says, like he said to Moses in Exodus 20, I'm a jealous God. I'm jealous that you get so excited about that, but you won't get excited enough and energized enough to seek me. Amen. Amen. Here's another possibility as we're getting ready to wind down here. Another possibility is that our self-centeredness and competing loyalties that prevent us from giving full allegiance to anyone, including God. Now, what did we always say? If the devil can't make you what? Bad, he'll make you what? Busy. So you get up at the last minute. You rush. Well, I got to have my coffee. I got to have this. Got to get out the door. Bye. And gone. And we forgot to talk to God. We forgot to praise and worship God. We could stay up all night and be up until the wee hours of the morning, staring at the TV or staring at our phone. but we won't get up and seek God. Remember what Paul said, David said, early will I seek you. Early. Amen. See, we can't seek him with all of our heart because there are too many closed doors in us that bar God from entering. They block God from entering. Excuse me, God, I got to do this. Excuse me, God, I got to take care of this. Excuse me, God, I got to make this appointment. Excuse me, God, I got to do this. Go here, God. And then we run around, and then we run around while we're fatigued, we're frustrated, or we're in fear that afternoon. Amen. Or unfortunately, some people are in the flesh, wide open flesh that afternoon. Praise God. Seek God. Y'all get something out of this tonight?
Yes.
See, walking in God's ways and obeying him in all things is a privilege, not a hindrance. Yet we often treat God as such. When things become a little difficult, we are quick to assume that coming to church and giving God our full attention is an imposition rather than a blessing. How wrong are we? How sometimes dishonoring we can be when we say, well, they're taking too long at praise and worship. It should be 15 minutes, and so we got to sit down. I mean, just to be honest with you, God had to correct me one time. I was, you know, most of you know, in here and online, you don't see me, but in here on Sundays, I used to have the grandson, and he's getting a little bigger. He's a little heavier. So I started complaining. Man, you know, I got to hold him the whole time and stand up here and, okay, hurry up. And then I got to stand when I'm back here. But the Lord said, what are you doing? You getting a bad attitude about worshiping? Getting a bad attitude about corporate worship? I repent, Lord. I'm thankful that I get to worship. I'm thankful that I get to come to church and praise him. Come on now. I had to make an attitude adjustment. But some people are so into themselves and into their flesh and conveniences that any imposition is like an opposition to you seeking God. Look at Joshua 24:15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable, this is New International Version, NIV, undesirable to you. Now, does serving the Lord seem undesirable to you? But he challenges the people. He said, then choose yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the god of the Amorites in those lands, in whose land you're living. But as for me and my house, come on now, we will serve the Lord. And you know, worship is a part of our service. It's just not a worship service. It's your service of worship. It's your service of worship. Seeking God is always this way, a choice. Whether we cannot keep the idols in our hearts and expect to receive the gifts of his presence. So like I told you before, God is not going to play second fiddle. He's not going to be in second place. He's not going to be second priority. So he knows what's in your heart because he said in Isaiah, these people worship me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. He told the prophet, they're worshiping with their lips, but they don't love me in their heart. Why? Because their heart is captivated and consumed by other things more than me. And God says, I'm not going to move in until you move those idols out. And sometimes we can be the cause of God not showing up and manifesting himself out in our church service because our heart is stuffed full of idols. So we got to have, remember we said, we got to have thanksgiving and praise where? In our hearts, because that's how we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. But is your heart full of other things? It's crowding out God and crowding out praise and thanksgiving. That's why I said, y'all have heard me say it before. You hear me saying it online if you're watching for the first time. Thank you for watching with us. Many times repentance is therefore an essential ingredient of those seeking and praising. We got to keep your repenter close. If you've been so caught up and captivated and consumed by your problem, your pain, and the pressure you're going on and your personal issues, you need to keep that repenter like on auto repeat, auto replay. I need to repent, Lord. Why? Because I'm talking about and boasting about, or I'm bothered about other things. Are y'all listening to me? Because, see, we're getting into the attitude of worship that needs to be there. We need to create corporately, and we need to do this personally, create an atmosphere of worship in our lives. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
See, we can return to him, or we must do it on a daily basis so he can turn to you, unless you repent. He's like, well, get all rid of all this stuff. Repent. And then he knows you're ready to receive him. He's not going to try to come in and squeeze everything out and move everything else out of your life. He's going to say, wait a minute, you got to get this out of here. You can be a born-again child of God, Christ follower, but other things are filling you. F-I-L-L-I-N-G, filling you. Psalms 9:10. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Look at that. For you have never forsaken those who seek you. Notice that trust is necessary if you want to genuinely seek and praise the Lord. And so we gotta evaluate our trust factor. I mean, do you trust God to go and to move into your life and to manifest on your behalf because you praise him? Do you trust God enough to say, if I worship him, he's going to help me, he's going to heal me, he's going to deliver me, he's going to prosper me? You got to trust. It's a necessary ingredient. Otherwise, we will take matters into our own hands, like many unfortunately do. We say that phrase, God is in control, but no, he's not. Now, when you got your hands on the steering wheel, when you're the boss of your own life and nobody else is, God can't control you. God can't command you. God can't be chief over you. Because what happens? We don't like what's happening in our lives right at the moment. We don't like the bad things that are happening and manifesting through the people around us. So we feel we got to step in and put our vice grips on it. And so we don't understand that the path of God otherwise that's set before. So we either say, well, I got to take control of what I'm seeing, or I don't understand how God wants to take this thing. So we become controllers. Well, praise the Lord. Proverbs 8:17. I love those who what? Love me. And those who seek me find me. So when was the last time you found God? Simply put, worship is the climax of praise of praise. Worship is the climax of praise. Worship is what praise is all about. Seeking God until he graces us with his manifested presence. Once he is present, everybody and everything else is dismissed. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? Amen. Glory to God. Come on, stand to your feet and thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us greater concept.